Hello. Come on in, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? Happy Tuesday evening. I am Coach Betsy. Let's do some life coaching tonight, y'all. Let's see. Hello, hello, Jean. Let's see, Coach Betsy, I'm going to write down as my name because that's who I am. All right. And everybody come on in, say hi. Jean, you can hear me, so I know I'm good. All right, so y'all can see me and hear me. We should have a coach in here with me in the chat. I believe Coach Ashley is coming on. So, Ashley, when you come on, raise your hand. And she's going to be hanging out in the chat with y'all tonight. So, let's get going, y'all. Whoever wants some coaching on some life stuff, I don't know if y'all saw my post in Facebook today. I was like, give me your mama drama, give me your holidays, give me your work. Sucks. I'm up for it. I'm up for it. But this is what I'm going to say while y'all are kind of getting ready to raise your hand. Anybody? This is what I really want us to think about. Okay, Kaylin, you're going to be up first. This is what I want y'all to think about. Even if you're just listening to the coaching. And you're like, ooh, yeah, I'm going, I'm doing something, all that kind of stuff. Oh, there's Ashley. Okay, hold on a minute. Let me promote you to panelist, Ashley, first, and then I'll talk a little bit more. Okay, so she is coming up. All right, so she's gonna be in the chat with you and also in the Q&A if y'all have any questions. Oh, okay. Hold on. Hold on, hold on. Okay. I want y'all to think about it when you're listening to the coaching and all that kind of stuff. And again, if something resonates with you, or if you're just thinking about something that you're going through, I want you to think about your thinking around the situation. You're thinking around your mama drama. You're thinking around your work. You're thinking around the holidays. How can I normalize this thinking? Y'all know we talk about the four N's all the time, right? We talk about noticing our thinking. And then the next step is we talk about normalizing our thinking. How can it make total sense that this is where my brain would go first? Okay, that is such a powerful question. How is it normal that this is where my brain goes first? Not, we don't have to, keep going there. We don't have to, we can think something else too, but how does it make total sense that I would go there first with my brain? I think one of the most powerful questions that we could ask ourselves is, or we could tell, one of the most powerful things we can say is, I knew I would think that. I knew my brain would go there. Okay. So, because that just helps us. That just helps us think we're normal. That just helps us think, okay, there's not any big, really huge, major, big problem here. I just got some thinking that I want to look at and get curious about. Okay. All right, Miss Kaylin, let's bring you up. Anybody else that wants coaching, I'm here for you. And I'd love to see a couple more hands raised. I'm going to be here for about an hour and we're just going to do some coaching. All right. Hello.
So I went in to ask coaches a couple of weeks ago, and I messaged about my husband. He is struggling with Crohn's. We're having a lot of healthcare issues and lost Medicaid, so there's a transitional period. Right now, I'm struggling right now because he is at a point where he's scared. He's worried about everything going on in his life. He's been overworking himself, not prioritizing his health. And I've started to prioritize me, which is a shock for him. And I feel like there's a lot of times where he'll start to act in fear and make like accusations about the things that I've done. And I know intellectually that it is a trauma response that, like, for instance, my sister's in the hospital right now, so I had to fly to California really quickly. And I had to leave fast. It was a lot of money that we don't really have, but I needed to be with my sister and I wasn't going to leave my son alone. Well, I didn't have the chance to call him yesterday, and so he got mad at me for lack of communication. And when he nitpicks a lot of what I'm doing, it's really hard for me to put a stop gap in the middle and not get automatically defensive, in regards to what he's his response. And so then we end up going down a huge fight. And the reality is we apologize later on. But I'm struggling to not like automatically switch to the defensive. Feels like I'm being accused of like doing something wrong or being a bad mother or being a bad partner or whatever it ends up happening, I
Okay,
guess.
so let's kind of do what I was talking about a second ago, where it's like, first off, let's just celebrate. You got so much awareness here, right? You know what's going on. And like, it sounds to me like you're not really expecting him to change.
No, he's been this way since I met him. And I
Okay.
don't want to try to change him. That's
Okay.
his path that he's
Right.
got to go on.
That's the hard road, right? I mean, somebody might, they might change, but that's icing on the cake, right? What we can
Right.
control is us. And so, again, let me go back to how is it so normal that you would get defensive at first?
I work really, really hard at being a very good partner and giving to other people around me. And I work really hard at making sure I'm a very good mother. And I work really hard to make sure that I show up for him in the way that he needs me to. Even so much as understanding why he's showing up the way he is. And so to have someone accuse me of the exact opposite, of course, I'm going to be offended from that statement.
Okay. So, and this is like, and I ask you this, and we kind of talk about this because this is when, like, because what really it sounds like what you're wanting to do is you're really kind of wanting to catch yourself sooner when you feel the defensiveness come up, right? And so we just want to get really curious about it and be like, okay, this is why this comes up. Of course it comes up. I work really hard to be a good, a good wife and a good mother and all this kind of stuff. And so, like, of course, this defensiveness would come up and it's normal and it's okay. And like, so we're just getting to know this defensiveness. And so now that we're kind of talking about it and we're getting curious about it, you're going to notice it more. You're going to notice it kind of earlier, right? You're going to be like, oh, there's that defensiveness right on time. Perfect. Just right when I knew I would think this or I knew I would feel this. There it is. Okay. So I know that I don't want to kind of go down that road again. I want to kind of nip it in the bud right now. And so what could that sound like for you to kind of practice pausing at that moment? What do you think?
Yeah, I think there's two things going on. The two things that are going on is number one, there's feels like there's a sense of blame on me for the condition that he's in right now. And then two, there's the attack of me, like of me not showing up for him in that moment. And so I feel like I want to make sure I identify both of those feelings in the moment.
It's almost that almost sounds like, I mean, and disagree me with me if I'm wrong, but I mean, that sounds like it's part of the defensiveness. You're like, you're blaming me. No, I don't want to be blamed here.
I don't, yeah.
That's part of, and so you get defensive. And so this is what I mean, this kind of brings up, this is where you want to, like, outside of the moment of this going on, This is where you can journal on, okay, this is what this defensive, what's really kind of behind all of this defensiveness. I feel like he's blaming me. I feel like, you know, and it's got, you know, think about the word defensive, right? Like, what am I really trying to defend myself from?
Right.
That could be just be some good journaling for you again, like outside of the moment, to just get really curious about it. Yeah. And so again, it's okay. This is where I think he's blaming me. This is where I think he's, you know, and this is where I feel really defensive.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But then I get to that point where I can identify it. I do need to do more in-depth work, but I don't know what to do next.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. So first off, but you know, the key first step is always the awareness of what's happening.
Right.
And defensiveness, like thinking that someone's blaming you, that can feel really big in the moment. Like feel, I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, we're not gonna sugarcoat it here. I'm not gonna lie to you, right? And I'm like, 'cause I know how I get when I think somebody is, it's that whole kind of thing about like, when we think someone's so wrong about us and we want to like prove them right.
Right. Yeah.
In that moment. And this is where we can really kind of get to know what's happening and say, okay, this is just where I get really defensive. I want to prove him right, or I want to correct him on what he thinks.
Yeah.
And okay, this is what's happening. And it's just like, I mean, I'm, you know, like this is where we can like really practice putting in a pause. And again, I say practice and I mean practice. What that means is you're not always going to do it because it does sometimes that kind of need to prove people right and to, you know, get justice for ourselves can feel, it can be a huge urge in the moment. And so, but it's, again, you just practice and saying, okay, this is just where I'm feeling this. What do I really need right now? What can I really do for myself right now? Could I just take some deep breaths right now before I say any more words? Could I choose to step away from this situation? You know, it's just trying some things where you kind of just take that pause and kind of interrupt the pattern that you've been repeating over and over again.
I think so when we're having the arguments, like it's usually over the phone because that's usually the lack of communication. We haven't seen each other in days. We have busy schedules. And then I get a text message from him later. And it's like this laundry list of all the things I've done that have, you know, been moral failures.
Okay.
And my gut instinct is always to immediately open the text and get irate. And so I feel like sometimes I kind of want to like not do that, but then I don't know what to do in the meantime because it's like rumination in that moment.
Yes. Okay. Well, okay, great. I'm glad you kind of talked about the specific situation because it's like you even have, it's like you're not even really even standing there face to face, right? You actually can choose. This is where it's like, okay, this is where I want to open the text and see what's going on and, you know, prove him wrong and all that kind of stuff.
Start typing away and
start typing away, you know, all, and these are all, we want to see these as urges, right? Remind ourselves that these are urges, just like urges to eat. We have urges to respond. We have urges to prove people wrong. This is an urge. And so just like an urge to eat, you can allow that urge to, and for you, it may be, you know what, the best thing I can do right now is to not even open it.
Right.
You know, to say, okay, and to make a decision on if you're going to open it and when. Give yourself the gift of a decision. What do you think? How doable does that sound?
It's doable. I think I'm going to have to just put my phone somewhere else. I think my biggest concern is that one of the biggest complaints that I receive from him is that I haven't communicated. And so I think he wants a retaliation in that moment. And I don't want to read the text. So I might have to, if we go into a fight, message him ahead of time saying, I'm going to read whatever it is at such and such time. You're welcome to voice your concerns and we'll discuss this X, Y, and Z, because I don't want to have another fight because I didn't respond immediately. Because we have that's the pattern I have been doing. It's not working. So I want to shift the pattern somehow.
But also, you may just have to, and once again, this is kind of another like urge where it's like, you know, he may just have to be unhappy that you're not communicating. You know, where
I
it's
might
like
have to be okay with the fact
he
that someone
may,
might not be happy with me.
yeah, exactly. One of the, you know, sometimes one of the hardest things we practice doing, right? But I mean, because he keeps, you know, I think what, you know, what sounds like what he's thinking is that you all should communicate more, but maybe he's wrong about that. Maybe the best way for you to take care of yourself and to ultimately have a better relationship with him is to not communicate right now, to really communicate with yourself instead of with him, right? To really kind of get things where you want to get with yourself first. And yeah, let him, you know, you may have to just let him not like that. Let him disagree. But
Yeah, I don't
ultimately,
think I've
the best
ever
thing.
actually considered the fact that, maybe he's wrong.
Maybe he's wrong. And then even beyond that, letting someone, you know, letting someone be wrong, but they don't know they're wrong.
That's a
That's
hard
even
one for
like,
me.
that's
Yep,
like
but
next level.
right.
That's and like not needing to prove, you know, not needing to say you're wrong and I'm right and this is why and all that, just letting them think they're right
Right.
when they're wrong. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it you know, it takes some practice. It takes some, because again, there is just this urge with us as humans to want to right the wrongs and, you know, speak the truth and, you know, tell these people they're wrong and all that kind of stuff. But to let people be wrong about us, let
Oof.
people just
Yeah.
disagree. It is a, it's a superpower.
Right.
It can be.
And then I guess for me, I think this is obviously another question, another like whole thing, but if he was right and because he is convinced he is dying, if there were something to have to happen with him, it's okay for me to not want to process that right now. And it's not necessarily law on me for not wanting to validate that fear of his right now, I guess.
You're asking me, are you asking me if it's okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So often when we find ourselves, we all do it, when we're asking somebody else if it's okay, we're really wanting to, you know, to tell that to ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything is okay. You know what's okay. You know what's best for you.
Yeah.
Even if it's hard sometimes, even if it's painful. But yeah, my answer to you, I mean, and my answer to anyone is always, you know best. Anything is okay. Nothing ever has to be a flaw about you or wrong. Ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. You just, you know, keep going, keep reaching out, you know, in Ask Coaches. We are here for you. Keep
Thank you.
taking care of yourself, really, and asking yourself those questions. Is this okay? And your answer can always be yes.
Yeah. Thank
Okay.
you.
All right. All right. You take care.
You too.
Bye. All right. We've got somebody else. Yes, we've got Rochelle up next. I don't have anybody else waiting. So, anybody else who wants to jump in after Rochelle, go for it. Yes, Erica, can we let your father-in-law just be wrong without telling him he's wrong, without proving to him that you're right. Just that is one of the best forms of self-care that we can give ourselves. We can. All right, Rochelle, I'm gonna ask you to unmute and start your video.
Okay.
There we go. I can hear you.
Yeah. How do? Okay, there I am.
There you are. Hi.
Do you see me? Okay.
Yes.
I'm a little scared. I've been trying to do this for a while, but I just thought I was listening to the last person, and it is gonna stack on to what she's dealing with.
Okay. Well, good. I hope you learned something from her call, and we can keep going.
Yes. The one thing I learned from her call is to let somebody be wrong. That's a really tough one for me. My husband has been dealing with long haul COVID, and he's not doesn't act the same as he used to. And he can, I guess I can't sugarcoat it, will sometimes fly into a rage when I think I'm trying to be nice. And an example I'll give you is we had about six teenagers, 17-year-olds over for a party. And he had come in from work, said he had a really hard day, and he doesn't ask for help, you know, so he was kind of crabby from the hard day at work, just started working the last 6 months, was off for 2 years. And so he went in the bedroom. We live in a small apartment, and I stayed out there with the kids, and they wanted me to hang out. So I hung out with them. I did games with them. I ate pizza with them. And I just wanted a break. So I came into the bedroom so I could have a break. And he got very angsty that I was coming in there. And I said I would be quiet. And he said, well, I'm going to go sit in the garage in the car. And that felt really uncomfortable to me. So I said, why can't I just be in here with headphones on? And he got so like, he exploded on me and said, I'm afraid to say what he said. It was bad, you know, like shut the fuck up. And, you know, are you fucking stupid? And I remained calm. And I just said, I really don't understand, you know, why you're doing that. Cause he didn't used to be like this. You know, he kind of had a temper, but with the long haul COVID, he has bad headaches and cognitive issues. And, you know, I don't know how to manage it. You
What
know,
do
and
you think it would look like to manage it? Or what would be the goal of managing it?
Well, my go-to right now is I thought, you know, when he says something, whether I agree or disagree, I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to risk him going into a rage. And then like, if he asked me what's up, I would say, you know, like you want to live in your world. So I have to let you do that. I don't know. I'm at a loss. I feel like backing off. I know that if you back off, that's not good in a relationship.
What do you mean back off?
Like not engage with him so much. I know that I do, you know, talk more, and I ask a lot of questions, which I did find out can be really annoying, because my sister did that to me. So I am trying to notice that maybe not everybody likes to have a lot of questions asked, that maybe what they say is what they say, which is uncomfortable for me.
So it almost sounds like you know, you were kind of asking how you manage it, right? And it's like, it may involve, I mean, what I hear, Rochelle, is that you're figuring this out. You're figuring out how to manage it. One day at a time, one interaction at a time. That doesn't
I'm
mean
afraid
that every interaction is going to go great.
No,
but
I'm afraid like we're going to move apart from each other. Like, it's not the real me. Like I want to be myself. And that doesn't work right now.
It's like maybe your relationship is, I mean, it is different. He is
It's real
different.
different. Yeah.
And this, you know, sometimes we've got to tell ourselves the truth that, okay, it's different now. And am I willing to change with the difference?
Yeah. He didn't ask for a long haul COVID.
No. And that's another thing you can just, you know, some good questions that you can think about and maybe journal on. But another question I was thinking about was, you know, how could some of his behavior make sense? Or just make some sense? I mean,
I understand it. I think, well, I know he's frustrated because he can't think of things like he used to. And work is challenging because he's been a carpenter for so many years and it doesn't come naturally right now. And I'm trying to have, patience and grace for him and myself altogether because, as we all know, marriages aren't easy. And I've had times when I'm sick, I just think I'm a nicer sick person.
You just wish he was as nice as you are when you're sick.
I do. And
But here's the thing. This is what I like to, you know, remind all of us here in No BS is that, you know, he doesn't have the tools that we have, right? He doesn't, you know, he's not working on feeling his feelings and, you know, looking at his thinking and all this work that we do inside of No BS, right?
Yeah.
He's out there in the world with, and he's just frustrated because his life isn't the same as it was. And he may not know how, and he may not know any other way to express his emotions. And you are, you know, I don't know how he expresses emotions or if he does it with other people, but a lot of times our spouses, they feel safest with us.
Yeah. I've thought about
And
that. I have because he has to, I think he has to be nice all day at work because he works with clients. I didn't think about that till you said it, but that probably by the time he gets home, he's gonna explode.
You're his safe place.
Yeah,
His now
I'm
the
trying to explain that to my kids too, because it's hard for kids to understand that, his brain is different and he's just different for all of us.
And that may what may come with that is some grieving.
Yeah.
You know, you all
Yeah,
are
I miss
grieving
that.
who he was. And
Yeah, I
that's
think it's
normal.
possible he may come back, but I don't know.
And so it's just normal to grieve during this time and to feel what you're feeling. And y'all are all just kind of figuring out this new normal, we could call it, or this new life.
Yeah.
And it's going to take time. It's going to take practice. You're going to try this and it's not going to, maybe won't work, but you might try this and this will
Okay.
work.
Okay. I think I can look at it like that. Okay.
But
Thank you.
also just know that, I mean, you know, you get to decide what you want to experience and what you want to deal with too, right? It's like, you know, you're not just, I want to just think about your safety and and it's just, you know, you get to choose what situations you put yourself in. Okay.
Absolutely.
I just
Yeah.
wanted to say that
Yeah.
to you.
No.
Okay.
And I did talk to him after this and said, I understand your frustrations, but you really are not allowed to say that shit. I don't care how mad you get. It's just not cool. I mean, to do that. I don't think it's very acceptable.
I would really recommend that you check out our relationships course that's in
Okay.
the there's I just think there will be some and just really go through the course. Ashley can put it in the chat for you, and also we can put it in the show notes, but it's one of our bonus courses, and just really going through the course with what's going on right now, just specifically in
Okay.
mind, and see what you can learn from that. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to ask you if nobody else, is anybody else waiting to get called on?
Yeah, I've got one person, but you go ahead.
Oh.
We've got time.
Okay. I just wanted to do one more thing that before I heard that other person talking. So, I have, been successful in the course so far. I've been here about a year and a half, and I'm real happy with everything. But I'm noticing a really odd thing now lately is it seems to be getting easy in some ways where I'll have a nice loss and I'll be like, oh my God, that wasn't hard at all. That I don't even notice I was doing anything last week. Like, how did that happen? And then that day, I will just eat a lot. And it kind of really annoys me. And it gets me to thinking I did it by eating like an asshole.
You did
And
what
I,
by eating like an asshole?
well, I guess not eat like, well, when I eat the next day, after I had the weight loss, and then I'm eating like an asshole, I start to think, maybe more of a question to me, like, did you think that you lost this weight by eating like an asshole? And I know that's not true, but how does that happen? Like, why, after I've been working on this and loving all this, it seems to happen a couple of times, like more often than I'm happy with.
So what's happening here? I have a I'm not going to pile too much homework on you, but
Yeah.
I'm now reminded of the self-sabotage course
Okay.
because one of the most common indicators of self-sabotage is, I mean, and when I say self-sabotage, I mean like the example you gave of like basically overeating after we've had a loss. One of the most common indicators is when things are going well. So you, I mean, like, just sitting here thinking like, oh, well, when things are going well and I have a loss, you would think I would want to just keep losing. I would
Yeah,
want to just keep doing what I'm doing that's working.
you
But
would.
what happens, especially at first in this journey, is that we're like, oh my gosh, this is like actually, I think I'm actually doing this right. It's actually working. And that freaks us out, especially if we spent any time in our past trying to lose weight and not being successful at it.
Yeah.
Because we're actually
Yeah.
doing something like totally different than we've ever experienced before.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually losing weight. It doesn't feel all that hard. And our brain's like, we can't take this. This is way too much like change and goodness and happiness for us to be able to tolerate. And so we sabotage ourselves and we go back
Yeah.
to kind of the homeostasis of low-level misery or whatever it
Yeah.
is. It's like our brain can't tolerate this new thing. And so it's like we got to overeat to kind of maintain the homeostasis of where we are. It's just that your brain is just scared of change and scared
Yeah.
of doing something new. So we have to understand what's going on first so that we can recognize it in the moment and say, oh, I see what's going on here. I've had some success. And now my brain just doesn't think I can continue it. It doesn't really, it's not comfortable with the success, but I need to call bullshit on it right now and say,
Yeah.
actually, no, we're not going to overeat right now. We're going to keep going and keep proving to ourselves that this actually can work and that I can have success in my life with weight loss, even though I don't have any evidence of it in my past, maybe. What does that make sense?
Yeah, and I guess I thought from doing this like a year and a half and feeling like freed up, like out of food jail and everything, it kind of blindsides me when the when the old diet.
But think about how long had you been trying to lose weight after, before you found OBS?
Just about years? 40 years.
40
just
years.
Just about. Yep.
So, you've done amazing so far here in OBS, but it is a blip on the screen compared to the years of diet mentality and thinking that you had to starve yourself or, count points or whatever it is. So it's so, so normal that it comes up even after you've been doing it for a while.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
But here's what I want you to normalize it. We have an entire course about it. That's how normal it is.
Yeah.
And so that's what I want you to see is how normal it is.
I'll look at that and give myself a little space on that because I'm not very patient. So I was wanting to be a little bit. Yeah, I see some work. Thank you very much for everything.
All right. All right.
Take care. Bye.
Take care. Bye. Good question. All right, Miss Kimberly. You are up next. The course, we're talking about the self-sabotage course. Yes, self-sabotage is what I was talking about. It's one of our bonus courses. Right, I'm going to ask you to unmute. Get you down here with me, Kimberly. Ask you to start your video. There you are.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going? What's going on?
So I have a question about motivation.
Okay.
I had lost a lot of weight a while back and then gradually gained some back. And then found OBS and was listening to the podcast and joined. And then I listened to the entire course. And then I just kind of, I don't know what it is, but for some reason, I whenever I'm confronted with a food that is not on my plan, but it's, one of my trigger foods, like I'm a huge sugar person, sugar, carbs, whenever it's something like that, like I go to work and everybody's brought in, all kinds of crazy sweets and stuff, I have a really hard time developing what dialogue I should be working with myself in order to, I don't want to say resist, but it seems like I'm always caving in and I'm never going to get anywhere if that's what I keep doing.
So what's your current dialogue?
I need to
when you come upon these foods.
It's funny because I've listened to so many of the podcasts where people are like, well, why am I wanting this? Like, why? And I'm like, the only thing I could come up with, I don't have any like deep seated, I guess I might have some like self doubt because of the number of times that I've lost weight and then gained it back. And so I might have some self-doubt, but I don't have any like deep-seated, childhood trauma or anything like that. And so all I can come up with in the moment is it tastes good, which sounds so silly.
That's it.
It's like I'm pleasure-seeking.
Yes.
And it's not that I'm a person that I get massages, I get my nails done, I take very good care of myself in those ways.
That matter. Food gives us a lot of pleasure and
it's like the immediate gratification.
Yeah. So let's just, there's no problem here. It's totally normal for you to want things that are good, but that doesn't mean that we have to consume them. We just make it such a huge deal that we want them. How about we just normalize wanting? Like, of course I want them. They're good.
So if it's normal that I would want them because they taste good, then how do I convince myself or have a positive dialogue with myself so that I am okay with not? Like, I'm the whole person. I'm the person who, if there's like an open bag of anything, like sweets wise, it's like one is never enough.
Okay, that's the kind of dialogue that you don't ever want to say again. You're not that person anymore, Kimberly, or you don't want to be.
No, I don't.
So quit saying that you're still that person. You're telling me like, well, here's what I've done in the past and I can't ever do anything different in the future. I mean, I'm just that person who opened a bag and I can't. We have to start telling ourselves who we want to be in the future. Our brain is listening to everything that we say and everything we think. It doesn't realize that you're talking about like that's who you were in the past. It's like, okay, who do we want to be now? Because she keeps talking about like she can't, you know, just eat one. But then like she also talks about wanting to eat less. So you,
right.
So the dialogue is you never utters, comes out of your mouth again, who you don't want to be.
Okay.
Because your brain doesn't hear the don't want to. It just hears. So it's like, who do you want to be? I am practicing, like you're at work, they bring in donuts or whatever. I am someone who is practicing wanting something, but not giving it to myself. I'm someone who I can want something, I can smell it, and I can just enjoy that smell.
And then how do you do that? Like, what is the, walk me through like a successful.
That, just that. You literally stand there, you see the donuts, and you, I mean, you could say, I mean, it's more powerful actually if you say it out loud. Honestly. Like, even if someone's a coworker's there, you know what? Oh, there's somebody brought donuts in. I really want one, but I just didn't plan to have one today. That's even more power. Your brain hears that. It's like, oh, okay, we're not having the donuts. Okay. So we'll let the urge pass and we'll move on.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what you practice doing. And then you practice just, you know, walking away from the donuts.
And then what is the difference between that? And then mm-hmm. I hear a lot of like I listen to a lot of podcasts and I listen to like a lot of self-help mm-hmm. books and I try mm-hmm. to be really self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
But what's the difference between that and then like constantly feeling like I'm denying myself all of the time?
Well, that was going to be another question for you. All these foods that you have these urges for, are you giving yourself permission to have them ever?
Well, that's the problem. I can't lose weight because I'm giving myself permission too often.
Okay, so look, maybe not as often, but you still got to give yourself permission to have them, because otherwise it's restriction and you're just going to binge on them later.
Right.
So what if, I mean, let's get specific. What's some of these food? What's some of this food that you're planning, but you think you're planning too much?
I mean, you know, my typical, you know, I'll have a breakfast planned and a lunch planned mm-hmm. and a dinner planned. And then I also plan snacks. And mm-hmm. then I'll walk into, like, usually it's involving work
mm-hmm.
or the family wants to order pizza. Usually okay. it's something really unexpected or mm-hmm. Nowadays at work, especially with the holidays,
mm-hmm.
you know, you walk in and there's donuts or there's pastries or there's,
okay.
you know, all the sugary stuff.
So are you planning in, are you giving yourself permission to have any of that stuff ever? Like, okay, like tomorrow, let's say, could you put on your plan? Hey, okay, if they've got something good in the break room, that's really, I actually just answered an Ask Coach's question about this very thing. Like, put on your plan. Okay, I can have something. Because if you give yourself permission to have it, you're going to.
I guess I'm such a nothing person.
You're what?
I'm such an all or nothing person that it's like, if I were to plan for something like that,
mm-hmm.
then it would be, my brain says one was wonderful. So yeah. Two is going to be, you know what I mean? And yeah. then also it feels like I'm messing up. And so I'm such you're an
just,
all or nothing.
Of course, person. It's going to feel like you're messing up, but you're just wrong about that.
Right.
You're just wrong. I'm all or nothing. I'm right there with you. I'm an all or nothing person too. And I had to let that shit go to lose my weight and keep it off. We cannot,
so
you know,
what,
perfectionist, all or nothing. I had to be okay with making mistakes. I had to be okay with, you know, planning something and maybe overeating it sometimes, but then keeping on going. Right. And not beating myself down.
Right. So let's say I'm planning for tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know that tomorrow there's going to be something at work that I'm probably going to want.
Yeah.
And typically what I'll say is I'm planning my regular snack, but if there's something in the break room that I want, that I will substitute that for my regular snack.
Okay. Yeah.
And that I would have one serving of it.
Yes. And here's what I also want you to put on your plan. I am going to have an urge for more.
Okay.
And that is totally normal. Plan for urges for more. That's what most of y'all aren't doing.
And so then when you do plan to have, you know, one or two of something, I guess, because you don't know, I don't know necessarily what it's going to be. Then it's like, okay, so then what do you do with that urge?
You've already planned for it. So you're going to be like, oh, there's that urge. Yep, I knew this was coming.
Right.
It's normal. It's really good. Cookies are good or whatever it is, right? Of course I'm going to want more. I knew this was coming. It's normal. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed my two cookies I had. I'm going to, you know, what are some things that I can do to kind of like let, you know, allow this urge to pass in the easiest way possible? Maybe I step away from the food now. Maybe I go back to my desk or whatever.
Right.
Or maybe I like excuse myself and go to the bathroom and drink some water. Maybe I take a few deep breaths and say, yeah, okay, I'm having the urge for more. And that's normal. And you just practice that.
I think the hardest thing is that, wait, and this sounds so stupid, but, you know, you like, I have a goal of wanting to eat on plan and deal successfully with these situations that I keep finding myself in. But that's such a long-term goal, whereas like the short-term gratification of the food is so immediate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
well, that's
the
because
thing.
That sounds to me like you're not celebrating the little wins that you have every single day. You're like either like I won the day or I failed the day.
That's
and
what it
it's
feels
like,
like.
Yeah, it's like every day you make a plan, that is a win. Every day you assess the plan, that's another win. Every day you follow the breakfast part of your plan, that's another win. I mean, we have got to rack up these little wins every day because, yeah, otherwise you're thinking you got to be perfect. That's the only way you can win. And that's
how do
that's
you
hard
celebrate
road to hoe.
Them?
What'd you say?
How do you celebrate them?
You celebrate them at the, we have questions on the planner. At the end on the assessment every day, what did I do right today? Or what were some wins today? I mean, just make a list of your wins on your assessment every day.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because then when you're like giving yourself those little hits every day, then you're not looking for the big hit of the food as much. Cause you're like, oh, but you know, I at least followed my breakfast plan. And then the other thing is like, let's say you overeat at lunch or you overeat like in the middle of the afternoon at work. You're like, but I could still win at dinner. So I'm going to get right back on plan. You're not going to say fuck it for the rest of the day as much. If you're celebrating every single small win, that's the road to success. The road to success is paved with these little tiny wins that don't even feel like wins a lot of times. But every time you celebrate, your brain wants more of that, you know? And if y'all can't find wins in a day, please, I swear I'll give you my phone number. I am like a win miner, you know, like I can find a win. You right. can give me the most shitty day ever and I will find a win in it. You try and stump me. And you can, you know, ask me and put my name up in your question. You know, anybody can do that. Y'all try and stump me. I'll find a win. I mean, and you got wins.
That's
right
very
here.
Helpful
you,
because
you, Kimberly, I mean, just you coming on here, reaching out for help, asking amazing questions while you're getting coached. That's just a huge win right there. And so many people have learned from this coaching too. Okay. Keep going.
I really appreciate it.
Okay. All right. You take care. Okay. All right. All right. Bye.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
All right, y'all. I'm telling you, wins, 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 wins. Okay. Before we get out of here, let me just kind of, since we got a couple minutes, I'm going to look in the chat just for fun, y'all. I never have time to look in the chat and just like respond to stuff in the chat. So if y'all have any quick questions, put them in the Q&A or the chat. I'd love to just kind of scroll through the chat here for a minute. So Sue bought a whiteboard for her win board. Awesome. Yeah, y'all, like, however you want to recognize your wins, the easiest way is to just, you know, write them on your assessment. And again, we ask that, you know, everyone, every version of our planner has some version of a question that says, how did I win today? But some of y'all get into like, because I think right now, maybe the planner says something like, what did I do better today than yesterday? That is the wins question. But some of y'all kind of overthink that and think, well, but that wasn't better or that was worse and all this kind of stuff. It's really just asking, what were your wins from today? Okay. Let's see. If you're still breathing at the end of a shitty day, it's a win. Yes. All right. Yes, y'all, like, get curious about what your wins are. Angela, I challenge you, just start with finding one win, just one win. What is something that, like, here's the thing, use me or use, what's one win that Coach Betsy would see as a win today? Maybe you don't see it as a win yet. See if you can come up with one right now. Yeah, you're on this call, Angela. Thank you, Ashley. Ashley and I are the dream team tonight. We're going to find all the wins. You're on here. And you're reaching out on the chat. That's a win. Vivian went to a pizza and a cookie party and skipped the pizza and the cookies because she was chatting with people. All right. Anything else? How does this help us? Great question, Maria. Let's review that because I was coaching somebody a minute ago. This helps us when we're recognizing our wins, we just feel better. We like walk around thinking we're winning. And then we're not looking for like hits of dopamine. So recognizing our wins gives us hits of dopamine in our brain, right? It gets those like feel good cortisol hormones going. Is it cortisol? No, that's the stress hormone. It gets feel good juices going through our bodies. When we're feeling good about our wins, we're not looking for food as a hit. We're not looking for food from, we're not, we don't need relief from anything because we're like, oh my gosh, okay, I had some wins today. Yeah, I also had some learning opportunities too. I had some good reminders today. But I also had some amazing wins. Go me. I swear I say go you and ask coaches a million times a day because I want to normalize and like be an example to y'all of celebrating you because I want you all to practice celebrating yourself. Okay. All right. Let me scroll back up through here and see if there's anything else I want to comment on before we get out of here. Darlene talked about parenting yourself. I love that little tool when we're thinking about, like, when we have an urge, right? Our kids have urges too, don't they? Our kids have lots of urges. I don't have kids, but I've got three nieces that have lots of urges, and they express them to me. They are not shy about wanting things. And what do, y'all? We don't say yes every time. I always talk about the littlest one. Her name's Rossi, and she is my, I always think about her when I have an urge, like, to eat something, because this is what she does. When she asks me for something, sometimes it's food, sometimes it, can I watch the iPad, all that kind of stuff. And I say no, this is what she does. She goes, huh. And then she's 5, by the way. And then about 2 seconds later, she's perfectly fine. She runs off and does something else. She throws a little bitty fit, and she, and then she's fine. What if we just did that when we had an urge? Where we're like, okay, we've got an urge. Like, we're not going to have that. No, we're not hungry, or we didn't plan for that, or, you know, we're just not going to have that right now. What if we just said, and then we were good to go. What if we just let ourselves throw a fit for 2 seconds? I think it might be the magical answer. All right, y'all. So, all right. Anything else? I think I keep my armor of worry on all day to protect myself from all the challenges that keep coming up in the day. It doesn't leave much room for wins. Okay. Well, let's just practice. First off, amazing awareness there, Angela. That's another win, is that you're kind of keeping up your, you know, your dukes all day because you're trying to protect yourself. That's a win right there in just that awareness. I bet that's exhausting. I bet it's exhausting to just walk around always being on guard, trying to protect yourself from something. So, of course, you're tired. If you do have an urge, you probably give in to them. So I really want you to get curious about this armor and what it's really doing for you, and if it's really protecting you, and also what you're trying to protect yourself from, if it's really as damaging as you're afraid it's going to be. So those are just some questions to get curious about, and maybe journal on, maybe bring them over to Ask Coaches. Okay. That's what I got for you. Yes. So exhausting. What if we were to drop the armor, drop the sword? I talk to my private clients about that all the time. What if we were just to raise the white flag in this battle we're in? Yeah, it might feel scary for a little while, but it'd be a lot less exhausting. And maybe we would actually be okay. Maybe we are actually safer than we think we are, because we've got ourselves too. We've got ourselves to protect us. Okay. All right. All right, y'all. I'm going to get out of here. We're just right at an hour. It's been so good coaching with all of you all. And if you ever need anything from any of the coaches, we are in Ask Coaches all the time. If you want to, ask a question from a specific coach, you can put that, our name up in the title. We're glad to refer that to a specific coach, as long as they're around to answer. And I would love to help you. So we are just always here, and you know, no BS never closes. So even though we've got some people celebrating holidays coming up, I'm working. I'll be around. So, we've got people all through the holidays here to help you. So we never close. So so just reach out if you need us, and we'll be here to help. Okay. All right. Yeah. We'll leave the light on. All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks again, Ashley. Awesome in the chat. Bye.